You're listening to the Huddle Up Podcast with Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Join Broncos Country's deep divers at milehighhuddle.com and sound off. And now it's time to drop some knowledge.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Huddle Up Podcast, presented, as always, by Mile High Huddle, powered by Overtime Media. I'm your host, Chad Jensen, and with me tonight is one of my partners in crime and fellow football priest. You guys know him as Buona Beast. I saw it was it a Don, I think, said the priest and the beast on Twitter when we were like hyping up tonight's show, the priest and the beast. That's what we'll call it when you and I have to rock this, or if it's Zach and you, I'm out somewhere, you know, have a night off. But he's John Cronenberg. John, what's going on, brother?
I'm doing well. It's just been a great Wednesday, and excited to see what our fans have to say. And how about yourself?
Dude, I'm excited to talk about a few things. First and foremost is the Vic Fangio press conference. We also got to hear from Von Miller yesterday. We also got to hear from Cortland Sutton. Each one of those press availabilities provided some really interesting choice nugs that I want to dissect with you and with the community here. But I wanted to open tonight's show by actually drawing your attention and the attention of the community to the Mile High Roundtable we published today at milehighhuddle.com, which is, anytime we publish a Mile High Roundtable, it's basically the staff of MHH going around a round table to either make a prediction or try and solve a problem or whatever it might be. And you, most of you remember or know it as, you know, when we were or sharing reactions for that matter. But during the regular season, for example, we make our picks and then, you know, we keep a running tally through the season. That's the Mile High Roundtable. Today, though, John, let me just do a quick share screen here so people can kind of follow along with us. Well, I just want to go through this really quick. The point of today's Mile High Roundtable, which was organized by the great and kind Carl Dummler, is, as you can see here by the headline, identifying the Broncos' best option at right tackle to overcome, of course, the loss of Juwan James. Let me pause this ad. It's going to follow me. Just 1 second. And each guy kind of goes through and lays out what they think might be the best band-aid solution to move beyond this and kind of solidify right tackle for 2020 and maybe even beyond. And I want to go through the main options, including the idea of, we've touched on this before, but the idea that I advocate here, John, in the round table is, let me go down to it real quick. Oh, one more. Is the idea of moving Dalton Risner to right tackle. And then you let the chips fall at left guard in terms of, is it Elijah Wilkinson? Is it Netani Muti? Is it Austin Schlotman? Who's it going to be? In other words, you have more depth and slightly more proven depth at left guard or at the interior than you do at tackle. So to me, it makes a lot more sense than going out and paying through the nose to sign Cordy Glenn, although I'm not opposed to that. That would be my number two option. Or giving up of, you know, King's ransom to acquire Riley Reiff via trade or somebody like that. But out of the gates, what would be your gut reaction if the news broke across the wire tomorrow that the Broncos are going to go ahead and at least see what it looks like to have Dalton Risner kick out to right tackle? What would your opinion on that be?
You know, my opinion on that would be, if it was okay by Munchak, I'm cool with it. I want to know what Munchak thinks about this. It really depends who decided to make that move. But again, it's one of those things where I think Risner makes sense at right tackle in many ways. Don't want to lose that chemistry. But again, if Moody can step in, if Wilkinson can step in and perform better than he did at right tackle, which at times was just atrocious, I think it's something we just have to look into, as the Broncos have to look into at this point. Everything should be on the table. I know we're crunch time when it comes to getting everybody set up and prepared for their position. It's still something to be looked at.
There's two downside risks, in my opinion, to the idea of kicking Dalton Risner out to right tackle, and neither one of them are non-starters, in my opinion. First being the fact that you risk – look, he's a 16-game starter at left guard last year as a rookie – although he suffered an injury and kind of hit a little bit of a rookie wall down the stretch, he showed great promise as a left guard. And as a coaching staff, as a front office, you should always be loath to risk upsetting that apple cart in terms of a player kind of forming his niche and his area or position of expertise. But in Dalton Risner's case, I think he's got what it takes between the ears to juggle a couple of different responsibilities. And we've seen different Broncos do that over the years. Most recently, of course, is the case of Elijah Wilkinson, an interior guard in 2018, a right tackle in 2019. Even before that, we saw Luis Vasquez go from right guard to right tackle when the Broncos had some problems. Alan Barber, that was not a great experiment either. But nevertheless, I think Dalton Risner has what it takes between the years that's not as big of a worry. The other concern and a reason for pause, a reason to really consider this, is I think Garrett Bowles' turnaround down the stretch last year was attributed more to the impact of Mike Munchak's coaching finally soaking in, finally assimilating into that brain of Bowles, plus the arrival of Drew Lock, who, as we've talked about on the show many times, proved to be, for quarterbacks who had at least 150 dropbacks last year, the hardest quarterback to sack in the NFL. But those two were probably the biggest reasons why Bowles improved. But I also think there's a little bit of something to do with the chemistry and stability and strength and just that he got from having Risner playing next to him. I mean, this guy, Dalton Risner, anyone that's been in the same room with Risner will tell you this. He is a force to be reckoned with. He is a dynamic personality. I can only imagine as a teammate, John, he's extremely confidence boosting, encouraging as all get out. And he's a guy that's got your back. You say the word, he's there for you, whatever you need type thing. And I think that helped Garrett Bowles probably a lot more than people realize. So if I'm a front office and I'm a coach, I'm Vic Fangio, I'm Mike Munchak, I'm John Elway, that's a consideration, but it's not enough to completely prevent me from doing what might be the best thing. At this stage, it's what's best. You got to get the best starting five on the field. And in that sense, you also have to get those starting five have to be in the best position possible to help the team. So if you kick Dalton Risner out to right tackle, he might not be an all-pro caliber right tackle, but I can tell you he's not going to be the sieve that Elijah Wilkinson was last year and that position has been for the majority of John Elway's tenure in the front office. And then at left guard, you got Eli, you've got Muti, and we'll see if Muti can be healthy enough to contribute. Enough bodies there where I think this is a unit that could land on its feet.
I agree with many of your points taken there. I also think that, you know, for right tackle, it's such a more important position in terms of the positional value. So let's say, you know, it makes Risner not be a top 10 tackle, but if he's mid-grade kind of tackle, I'd be very happy with that. And at this point, we are an embarrassment of riches when it comes to those interior offensive linemen. I know you feel Patrick Morris is a pure center. I think he also can go ahead and pull over to guard if necessary for competition. So at that point, yes, it does make sense that there is other options. There is better options to fill in the left guard position than there is the right guard position. And right. I think it's one of those things where what's your plan for Mutai otherwise then? I mean, are you just going to sit him as a backup for all these years? So we have to figure out what the Broncos have to figure out what they're going to do with Risner, no matter what, unless Muti is just a backup. If that's the plan, that's fine. But otherwise, the Broncos need to know, is Risner worth kicking out to tackle? Then again, it's just going to be a great backup. We'll never really see him. Only with an injury is the case for Muti.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is the best solution might just be staring him in the face right now in Risner. Now, I'm open to the possibility. I should say I'm open to other possibilities, including one that was put forward in the Mile High Roundtable by both Keith Cummings and Thomas Hall, which is to take a look at Donald Penn, who, you know, he's way on the wrong side of 30. I think he's 37, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that. Or yeah. Jared Elder. But as you and I were discussing, John, before we went live here privately, Jared Veldheer, anyone who follows him on social media, you can see the pictures he posts. He's lost a lot of that playing weight. And remember, he's 6'8". So you lose that playing weight. You stop consuming all those calories. You stop hitting the gym to lift and build mass. And that comes off these guys pretty damn quick. And in the case of Jared Veldheer at 6'8", he just looks like a cut up, really kind of lean athlete. I think he's basically, you have to take him off the table. Even if he was interested in coming back, you'd have to take him off the table as a viable option. Donald Penn, maybe he's more plausible as an option to come in. But the tragedy in that is that of all the options John Elway tried to kind of stopgap at right tackle over the years, the trade acquisition of Veldheer, even though he was injured for a few games in 2018, that was the best the right tackle position has been for the Broncos for the most part, except for a couple of the years when Peyton was the quarterback. So, I mean, it's in theory, it sounds good, but practically, John, I just don't think Veldheer is in the physical condition to just step in and play right tackle.
I agree with you there. He just does not look like he has the muscle mass that he used to. Even the weight that he carried, it doesn't look like he has that anymore. So he's off the table for the Broncos, I feel, at this point. It would be nice maybe if he had an offseason to prepare along those lines, but it feels maybe a little too late at this point. I've heard some other people's names, but again, Dotson being one of those other names, I don't think you're getting someone who's much different than Donald Penn in terms of, you know, their older bodies haven't been, you know, we don't know what their workout regimen has been. And I thought Penn was in the 40s. I thought he hit 40. So I could be wrong. Let me know in the chat.
I'm going to check it on Wiki right now. Donald Penn is born in 83. So he is exactly 37. Yeah. 37. So he's pushing 40. I mean, that's not too far away.
And he didn't play last year, if I'm correct. He got to Washington, is that right? And then
let me look here. So 19, he signed a 1-year deal. Well, I don't know if he played, but he did sign in late summer. He signed a 1-year deal with the Redskins. I'd have to research that, to be honest. Yeah. I don't want to steer anybody wrong.
Of course.
There are a lot of different options. I would encourage each and every one of you to go read the article. I just put the link in the chat stream. When the podcast is over, go check it out. Some interesting sources of inspiration there if you're John Elway, if you're this Broncos team trying to figure out the best thing. But again, I maintain, you know, and this wasn't something I would have advocated a few months ago because you had Juwan James, you know, you keep Dalton Risner at left guard and you just kind of figure out what to do with Muti when you know he's a thing, when you know he's been able to stay healthy and he's become a force to be reckoned with. You let those chips fall, then make a decision. But with James gone, that might be the best, most efficient way. But gang, we want to get to what's on your mind here in just a second. We want to talk about Fangio, Miller, Sutton, what they had to say in their press conference on Tuesday. First, though, a couple of really quick matters of business. Gang, make sure you're following the podcast on Twitter at HuddleUpPod. That's how you keep your finger on the pulse of what we're doing here in real time. And then while you're at it, make sure you also follow the mother account at Mile High Huddle. You check those two boxes, so to speak, on Twitter, you're not going to miss anything as it relates to MHH, the podcast, or your favorite team, the Denver Broncos. And then also, gang, just a gentle reminder, if you're in a position, check out our merch store, huddleuppod.com, and get your swag on. We've got the Let Them Hate shirts, and John, they've been flying off the shelf since we debuted them. These were that Zach designed. The back shows, what does the back say? I forget now. Oh, yeah, locked in. As you can see here, it says locked in as a hashtag and then the Huddle Up logo. Anyway, there's face masks, there's hats, there's hoodies. It's another way to support what we do here at MHH if you're in a position to contribute in that way. If you're not, it's all good. We're just happy to have you here. Each and every one of you can do these three things, whether you're listening live or after the fact on demand as a podcast. Make sure you're subscribed first and foremost. This is especially crucial on YouTube, gang. If about 25-30% of our audience, and this is a number that's fallen, but still about a quarter of the audience watches every single podcast, every single live stream each and every evening, but they're not subscribed. That one little thing, by subscribing, you guys have no idea how much you can help the channel. So subscribe, like this video, whether you're on YouTube, Facebook, wherever, and share it out there if you really like what we're doing. And then one last thing, John, we'll get to Glenn's awesome super chat here. I want to draw everyone's attention to, and I'm going to put this link in the chat stream, but oftentimes we have members of our Facebook community. They see how active the community is on YouTube. They see people showing support financially on Super Chat, and Facebook wants to know and understand how they can support what we do here at MHH. There's now an option for our Facebook community to do that, and I'm going to put it right here in the chat stream. It's basically to become an official supporter of MHH. We're going to start putting together some unique content and kind of members only access. This is on YouTube and Facebook for what it's worth. We're going to put special content for our members here in the very near future. But that's one way. If you're on Facebook, and you don't spend a lot of time on YouTube, but you're watching each and every podcast, you're reading all the articles, that's one thing you can do. And I just put the link in the chat so it'll show up on Facebook for you. Hit that link, become a supporter, and it's another way to help kind of support what we're doing here.
This is the Overtime Podcast Network.
While sports can bring us so much joy, it can also bring us a lot of unwanted stress. And that stress can make it difficult to concentrate, relax, and get decent sleep. Sunday Scaries was launched in 2017 by two best friends and business partners, Bo Schmidt and Mike Sill. They operated a full-service bar with 50 employees and were always exhausted. They tried all kinds of products, but they didn't work. Then they started experimenting with CBD. They loved the effects and regained control of their days and nights, but they wanted better CBD products. So what they did for themselves was specially formulate CBD gummies with vitamins D3 and B12 that were super consumable, easy to take on the go, and effective. Long story short, their specially formulated CBD products and vitamins helped relieve the overwhelming angst they felt on a daily basis. So in July 2017, they named the company Sunday Scaries and began sharing their products with friends and launched their online store at SundayScaries.com. With tens of thousands of customers, monthly subscribers, and a 100% money-back guarantee, Sunday Scaries has always been on a mission to transform a worrisome nation into a chill one. And right now, we have a bonus for you. Get 25% off all products at SundayScaries.com when you use the code OVERTIME. Again, 25% off all products at SundayScaries.com when you use the code OVERTIME.
Hey guys, Greg Peterson here with the Baseball Betting Podcast. As we know, the MLB season is back in our lives. It's going to be a 60-game sprint unlike anything that we've ever seen before. And I'm going to be giving you picks every single day, 7 days a week, with Major League Baseball. We're also going to be keeping up with the KBO as well. If you like baseball and you like being able to make some money, subscribe to the Baseball Betting Podcast with Greg Peterson on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, John, let's grab Glenn. Show him some super chat. The man with the most badass man cave, Bronco man cave that I've seen. He says, and thank you for the super chat, Glenn. Appreciate you. He says, Vaughn's press conference yesterday was the best I've ever seen him. Self-reflective, humble, personable with the reporters. His leadership level should be sky high this year. Hashtag state of being. Hashtag cool hand Duke. Hashtag TR tomorrow.
Terry Randall.
That's right. We got Terry tomorrow. It's going
to be about that. We're still coming on at number 7.
Let me really quick here. I should have had this queued up, but let me just pull up real quick. Von Miller, because we talked about last week when Vic Fangio had his first presser, and we kind of clowned a little bit and laughed about how on one hand he compliments Von and says that he's had a great offseason and he looks good. And then he says it's kind of an underhanded compliment where he's actually kind of dissing him a little by saying, I think he's hungrier than he's been, you know, in recent years. The implication there being that he wasn't as motivated or as hungry as he should have been. Well, Vaughn actually agreed with him in so many words when he took to the podium, so to speak, yesterday. It was, of course, another virtual press conference. But, John, I want to read part of this clip here for our listeners. I would play it, but I don't want to get any copyright strikes. But here's what he said. There were three things, John, that motivated this new hunger and this kind of sparked Vaughn in the offseason. One was the death of Kobe. That really hit him. That really struck him. And that happened about the time of the Pro Bowl, and he and his fellow Pro Bowlers, they all kind of weathered that and grieved that storm together. Then the pandemic hit, and his entire offseason plan got canceled, everything from all of his endorsements to his travel trips. He talked about going to musical festivals, things that he normally does in the offseason that are all kind of distracting, but they're things that NFL players kind of have to do to keep themselves sane. They got to have some kind of a life outside of football. So that was the second thing, the pandemic hit, where he was like, you know what? What else can I do except work my rear end off and focus on building my body and getting in the zone? Then, John, he saw The Last Dance, which, of course, everyone knows ESPN debuted during the real height of the lockdowns across the country where, I mean, the ratings on The Last Dance were phenomenal. And I want to read this quote here. He said, that's what I did. I got lost in that. The Last Dance came out, and I watched what Michael Jordan was doing back in his prime, and I asked myself, Michael Jordan was the best that ever played. Was I really making that commitment to the game? Was I really doing the same things that he did? Kobe was one of the best players that ever played. Was I really doing the things that Kobe was doing? Was I demanding more out of my teammates? Was I demanding more out of myself? I looked in the mirror and I said I wasn't. I just tried to change that and I tried to work as hard as I possibly could. I did not take any days off. I didn't go on any vacations and I didn't do anything but work out, grind, and reinvest all that time that I would usually spend on endorsements. I just reinvested that time back into myself, close quote. Which, John, I mean, if that level of focus and commitment, if he's really looking at the Jordans and the Kobes of their realm and saying, look, I got to do what it takes to be that great in my realm, the NFL, watch out, because he might break down the doors in 2020.
I mean, and just looking at the photographs of people that have taken of him, he looks bigger. He looks lean. He looks like he's ready to go. He has that right mindset going right now that he's the leader of this team. He's going to make this team give them that that leadership. And it's just one of those things where it's something where you don't see that in Juwan James. This is a real leader, a real person who is dedicated to making the Broncos become turn everything around and get back to the playoffs. He does not see one Super Bowl being enough in my mind. He wants to be one of the all-time greats. I wouldn't be surprised if Bruce Smith's record for sacks is on his to-beat list. I mean, the guy just it feels like he has the desire this year. Not like he didn't have it last year. It's just he came in a little bit more skinny, was kind of more of his Gumby feel-like. This year, I feel like he's going to be that leader for Chubb, for the whole defense, essentially, and be able to help the offense and help them lead in any way that they need, being younger.
Real quick, John.
Yes.
I don't know if you can carefully scroll the chat. It jumped on me to the next closest is Stu, and that jumped a lot of supers, including Mark, Duke, Mundungu.
We got Mark.
Yeah, you got Mark. Let's grab him real quick.
Yeah, we do.
Mark Langley, so Hizzy.
1999. What's up, my guys? Mr. James, number 70, is the broken handle on the used toilet bowl without that you can't flush. Two big turds down the
commode.
Commode, sorry. So he just opted out with a out of service sign saying better flush next time. Hashtag MHH.
Yes, I do laugh at that for the haters on Apple Podcasts that like to hate on this. I do laugh at it because I have the sense of humor of a 14-year-old and I love it, Mark. Thank you, my friend. You bring the levity, you help us laugh, and we love you in the community. And I know you've been working hard, you're grinding, doing your thing, so you haven't been able to be in as many chats in terms of the entire stream, each podcast, but we're happy when you're able to join us. We appreciate your generosity and your humor, as always.
Besides me butchering that, I mean.
Yeah, you took away some of the impact.
That choix de vivre.
Yeah, there you go. I think he had another one too, did Mark. I don't know if I can do it the old fashioned
too. I just got jumped myself.
Okay.
Let me grab it. I'm at 6'10", so 6'19".
Okay. All right, bear with us 1 sec, gang. Yeah. Of course, we have John in the appreciate you, Mundungus. We're going to get to your super as well, my friend.
The wizard
in the house. All right, this is Mark Langley's other super chat right here. And as always, you know we love you, my friend. He says, with a $10 super, this one is for John. Hashtag Buona Beast. Very kind.
Thank you, Mark. I really appreciate that.
Also, we got the Duke. The Duke is in the house. And Duke, you know, it pains me that I can't just put your super on the screen. I have to paste it in like this so we can't see your profile pic. But the effect, trust me, for John and I is still there. It's going to cut off some of it, but bear with me here. He says, how many players is it going to take opting out this year before the NFL scraps the season? This season is already going to look weird, but the no-no word is forcing fans to brace for the worst. I honestly, I really don't feel like the season's in doubt. I'll be honest with you. I don't. I think the owners and the players, listen, I sat in on the NFLPA, the meetings and what the discussions they're having with the NFL, and they are as committed and motivated to play the season as the owners are. They want to make that money. They want to provide that escape for the country. I mean, NFL is king. Football is king, period, when you include college. But the NFL is king. I had a friend, for example, that called me yesterday. And he said, Chad, dude, is the season going to happen? Because I need football. And he wasn't just being, I mean, he meant it. He's like, look, dude, I need it in my life. I cannot imagine going an entire year without football. Like, I need that in my life or I'm going to go crazy. And that's something that the NFL and the players, for what it's worth, recognize as well. But really, John, when you boil it down, it's about the dollar bills. And the owners and the players together, they want to make that money. So as players continue to opt out, and the Juwan Jameses and the for the Broncos anyway, and the Kyle Pekos opt out, another man, just like whack-a-mole, steps in, next man up, take his place. The same is going to happen across the NFL. Now, it's not going to be any kind of a drop in quality like the replacement squads from back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Some teams are going to have to roll with those punches and fill those positions as best they can with the next man up, and then find someone off the street to replace where the next man up was when he got promoted. That's just the way it's going to be. I'm honestly not worried. And I think when you look at how comprehensive, John, the Broncos plan, which has been lauded by the NFL, it's been lauded by the Colorado Department of Health for its comprehensiveness and just its painstaking level of prophylactic, preventative. I mean, it's really there. I mean, there was even that missed. I had who was it that reached out to me today on email? I think it was medium.com had an article on that missed. If you guys missed it, pardon the pun. If you missed it, there was a clip the Broncos shared earlier in the week, a few days ago, that showed the team emerging from the locker room out onto the practice field outside at UC Health Training Center. And they walk through what looks like a metal detector type, you know, rectangular shape. And as they pass under it, it sprays a disinfectant. And I'm not going to bog down the podcast by going into that. I had an email that was sent to me today that helped explain what that stuff was. But that's just one example of the lengths that the Broncos are going to try and mitigate this thing down to where it's not an issue. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to rear its ugly head at times this year. I think it will. Players will test positive. Players will have to go on the CV reserve list for 2 weeks. And the NFL is just going to have to figure out how to roll with those punches. But I do think, and especially as, you know, it seems like this second wave is starting to die down a little bit across the country, I'm gonna focus on the optimistic, you know, the silver lining. I'm not so worried about that, Duke.
Yeah, and I think, again, I'm not worried about talent either. We saw Mike Purcell. We saw a few players come up from the AAF, essentially, and they were ready to perform. Purcell, number one guy for the Broncos in terms of run-stuffing capability. Bosby came in and was a part of the AAF as well. So we have two players that could possibly be a big part for the Broncos at this time that were just off the street kind of players that no one thought anything of. So there is bodies out there. There is going to be more room for some new guys when it comes to that issue.
This is the Overtime Podcast Network.
Hey guys, this is Greg Peterson, host of the podcast Hoopin' with Hoops. Despite the fact that college basketball is in the offseason, it's never too early to get a jump start on taking a look at these teams because there is now 357 of them for the upcoming 2020-2021 college basketball season. I'm going to give you guys a deep dive on every last one of them, keep up with all the transfers in college basketball, and so much more. You are able to subscribe to Hoopin' with Hoops on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Mundungus showed, as he is wont to do, some big-time generosity on Super Chat, and it cuts off part of it. It can only show up to 200 characters in these banners we put on, but I'll read it and then read it off the analytics. Mundungus, really appreciate that generosity, my friend, and we're looking forward to having you on the show soon. I think end of August. I think we have it penciled in if you can do it, Mike, or Mundungus. Last Wednesday, so the 26th of August. If you can make that work, let us know. We will have you on the show for a superstar segment. But anyway, appreciate you as always, my friend. He says, what's up, guys? Just drove 10 hours to Indianapolis for my grandma's memorial. For those of you who might have missed it, as we learned last week, his grandma had a stroke, and she passed very shortly after. We didn't announce that, I don't think, on the show. We didn't want to speak for Mundungus. But we're sorry to hear that, my friend, and our thoughts and prayers are with you and your family. He says, but I'm still able to catch you. I think that with Wilkinson knowing for a fact that he is the right tackle and not practicing at many different spots, he could improve over last season. So the idea, John, being that now that he knows there's no ifs, ands, or buts, he's just going to be plugged. The team tells him you're just going to be the right tackle, that might help simplify things, help him focus instead of playing a little left tackle on the second team, playing a little guard here and there. I'm just the right tackle. Do you think, based on what you saw from Eli playing the right tackle last year, that could be a solution?
I think Fangio is expressing that is a possible solution. He's saying, that Elijah Wilkinson, he had 800, 900 snaps at right tackle, that it would give some continuity there. And at this point, it sounds like that's where it's going to land. If you have the confidence of Fangio behind you, you're in good shape. One thing that Fangio did say, though, is that there is going to be problems with depth. It's going to be a challenge, and he was honest with that. So I think no matter where you go, you're going to have troubles with depth, no matter what right tackle you decide to plug in. If it's Risner, you're going to still have problems with depth. So,
yeah, I mean, that's going to be the biggest, in terms of rolling with the punches. That's going to be a thorn in the side of the Broncos this year, and pretty much every team in the league, especially, I mean, you look at the way the Patriots have been decimated by not only positive tests, but opt-outs. I mean, that comes in the wake of losing Tom Brady. And his acumen as the greatest coach of NFL, that reputation Belichick has right up there with Vince Lombardi and Bill Walsh is the greatest head coach in NFL history. That's going to be put to the test this year in a big, bad way. Zeus McPeak jumping in as always from MHH Mount Rushmore, showing love on Super Chat. He made a trek from the Pacific Northwest to his new digs in Texas, and it sounds like you made it safe and sound. We're glad to hear that, Stu. Yeah. Appreciate you, bro. He says, John, you are a legit rock star. Thanks for the hard work.
Thank you, Stu, and I hope best wishes to your new position, everything that you're going through. I know you're about to move into your new house kind of at the end of this month, so hopefully the rental is, you're able to work with it for a little bit.
We got Adan. Am I pronouncing that name, your name correctly, my friend? If I'm not, dude, correct me on it. Give me the pronunciation. But 6'10", Mexican on YouTube. Appreciate the super chat. He says, I'm ready, coach, the priest and the beast. # state of being. Love it, dude. Appreciate your support as always, my friend, and your engagement on social media. It's a joy for us to see, and we love engaging with you. So appreciate you, my friend. Make sure you check out his podcast, Bronco Talk. Oh, man. I don't know if that's it, but it's something like that. Hit him up. He's just getting it started and could use some support from the community there. All right, we got Terry. North of the 49th parallel, proving, as always, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It is a # state of being. It's wherever you are, gang. He says, tomorrow is going to be awesome. Can't wait. And beauty of the beast, he says. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be the 7th superstar segment on the Huddle Up podcast. Terry specifically requested. He said, hey, I want to come on. Yes. And when I do, I want to be the 7th show. And that was originally going to be tonight, as most of you know. But with Zach on vacay, he'll be back tomorrow. We thought, let's push it one day so that we can have the entire band. Yeah.
Terry's been here for so long, and, he's been very patiently waiting. One more day, it's not going to hurt. And that way I can be in the back kind of producing, make sure everyone's questions are answered for Terry, and he can have a great night, because it really will be. On fire with Terry, as well as Zach coming back for his birthday.
Amen to that. All right, before we get to some of the other great superstars and comments and questions in the chat stream, I want to grab this quickly from James, who is always good at providing some additional data, gives us insight. He says, on Donald Penn, he did play in all 16 games. He started 15, played 884 snaps on offense, 94% of Washington's total. Played another 12 on special teams, 3% of their total. So he is, I would assume, John, in relative playing shape, right? Yes. In terms of any free agent who didn't get signed in the spring, they stay in shape, they stay ready to go, so that when the phone rings from that team that, on the doorstep of the season, like we saw with Evan Mathis back in 2015, they are ready to
roll. Let me ask you, Chad, do you think the Broncos are really wanting to go out there and spend that money ASAP? No. I think they want to keep it. I think, like every team, they're nervous about the future, The Broncos want to make sure they have a little bit extra cash. I do not know what's going on with the ownership and the trustees. I think they want to keep some of that money as much as possible, really. The price really depends.
Yeah, I mean, John Elway admitted that the uncertainty, financial uncertainty of the near future in 2021 salary cap played a role in the failure to come to terms with Justin Simmons. After all of the positive, you know, messaging during the offseason from Elway, basically making it sound like matter of course, and all the previous precedent for that matter, Elway, up until Simmons, every franchise player he had tagged, he had come to an agreement on a long-term deal in time for the deadline. That precedent broke in large part, not just because of whatever Simmons' ask was a bridge too far. I think if it's a normal offseason, they bite the bullet and they just pay him. They just say, all right, you know, get as close as we can. And I think, you know, Simmons sees the good faith effort. They make a deal. He signed up. But they don't want to set the new market for a safety with such uncertain future financially for the team and for the league. And so if that played a role in that decision, I got to assume that they're going to kind of keep the purse strings tight this summer, unless it's just an absolute screeching necessity. They don't want to spend the money. And we got Mike Evans, a superstar, jumping in with a $10 super. Appreciate you, Mike. Love the profile pic to this day. Got the stadium in the background, the Football Priest t-shirt. Love it. He says, due to our O-line challenges, I'm changing my win total from to 9-7, but we still make the playoffs. John, considering that one extra team gets in now into the playoff gauntlet, going from six teams making it in each conference to seven, 9-7, I think the Titans made the postseason last year at 9-7. So it's definitely possible that if they did finish 9-7, they would at least be in the conversation for, you know, one of those three spots.
Yeah, I think that's one of those. Again, it's going to be tight battle. I don't think it's going to be as obvious as it was before, where we felt where the Broncos felt we could get 10 wins or something like that. It definitely changed how the makeup of this team is going to be moving forward.
This is the Overtime Podcast Network.
We got Ryan. Well, it's good to have you. He's watching on Twitter on Periscope. Thanks for checking in with us, my dog. It's good to see you. Welcome. And stick around. Hang out with us. All right, let's grab Justin May also showing some love on Super Chat. You guys rock. Great job, he says. Hashtag go Broncos. Appreciate that, Justin. Really do. And make sure most of the regular superstars in the community know this, but if you're new on Super Chat, make sure you reach out on Twitter and connect with me, with John, with Zach, with the Huddle Up Podcast, so that we know what your Twitter account is so that we can shout you out after each and every podcast. That's something that we like to do. So that's to Justin and to Dylan here. Grab that 1 second. Dylan W. Johnson as well. No message that I see here, John, but a very generous super chat. Thank you. Make sure you connect with us on social.
I was just going to grab the Eddie J.
Yeah.
I do have my hat. It's ready. I thought I was going to go without it, but hey, if you guys want it, it's on.
Looks good. Looks good. All right. I want to grab a few here before we get back to the community. I want to bring up a few of these points that Vic Fangio elucidated on Tuesday. First and foremost, John, out of the gates, he addressed Bryce Callahan's health. And this was something we had heard. Eric Trickles talked about this a few times on his podcast on Dove Valley Deep Divers, that Bryce Callahan had lost a little bit of weight because he got a stomach bug. It wasn't the word that she'll go and mention. It was some kind of a stomach virus. But in regard to his health and where he might line up in the secondary, Fangio said, quote, Bryce's health is good. A week or 10 days before we came back, he got sick. Not the word that she'll go and mention sick. He had a stomach virus and he lost some weight. So we have to get that back on him. His foot right now is fine. No problems. We're going to work him at both spots, meaning boundary and nickel corner, playing corner, nickel, along with obviously a bunch of other people at both positions. We'll see how it unfolds by the time we line up against Tennessee. But Callahan is going to work both spots, close quote. John, nothing that is particularly earth-shattering in terms of news, except for the fact that he is going to play both. I think he's going to be your number two corner in base defense, playing boundary opposite of Bouye. Then when it goes into nickel or dime, he's going to kick inside and play the slot.
I agree. I think that's pretty much what he's going for here. It's going to still allow competition, though. So whoever wants to try to step up and unseat him, there's going to be an option there, especially when he kicks in for Nickel. We'll see what happens there for the next corner spot. If it's Michael O or whoever, it's going to step up, really.
All right. In regard to Juwan James saying in his statement following his decision to opt out that a false narrative was painted on him due to comments about his knee last year, which were basically comments that Vic Fangio made, that he's got to get his mind right. He's got to, you know, get his body right, get his mind right, kind of hinting at, does he want to? What's his focus? How bad does he want to be on this team? How bad does he want to play? Juwan James took, of course, great exception to that, called it a false narrative, claimed that he partially tore a meniscus in that week one. Actually, I think, now that I think back, John, the torn meniscus came when he tried to go again in week eight at Indy. So he initially sprained his knee against the Raiders in the opener. Then he's on ice for 7 weeks, comes back, plays week eight on the road at Indy. I think it was in that game that he claims he suffered a partial meniscus tear. And then the Broncos, in his estimation, basically tried to rush him back on the field. His knee was given out in week 14 on the road in Houston, et cetera, et cetera. Meanwhile, Fangio at that time in the season, later in the year, is when he's fielding questions about James, is saying, look, you know, he's got to get his mind right. Here's what Fangio said in regard to James saying it was a false narrative, et cetera, quote, and whether or not that factored into his decision to opt out. Quote, no, I don't think it factored into it at all. Juwan and I had several conversations in the offseason. They were all very good and productive. I don't think it had any bearing on his decision to opt out whatsoever. He was training to have a good season all through the offseason. I thought he had a good offseason. We spoke many times. Down towards the end here, when we had to make a decision, he chose to opt out, which is his choice, and we're fine with it, close quote. Because of the, I guess, John, at the risk of seeming mean and bitter and uncaring about players, they have to say they're fine with it. They have to say we understand and, you know, it's his right. There is no way on God's green earth the Broncos were okay and fine with Juwan James after missing and playing only 63 snaps last year and missing almost the entire season after collecting $17 million. The John Elway and Vic Fangio were like, you know, it is his right to go ahead and opt out. Let's let him do that, and, you know, we're fine with it. I just don't buy that, but it's something he's got to say as the head coach.
I agree. I think this is just posturing at this point. It's one of those things where the Broncos are not happy with this. There's no way that they are. No way that John Elway went into this thinking, hey, he's not going to play any games for those first two seasons, even though the contract's being extended to next year. There's no way that anyone's really happy with this. You just have to say the right things in order to have the right PR kind of perception. You don't want to be different than the other teams. But this is really not their true opinion. I think him just saying, and we're fine with that, is him saying, Fangio saying, yeah, we're fine with it. But, yeah, you know, he's saying it like, fine. You know, it's passed. It's done. We're done. Next. If he could, he would get rid of him next year. I'm sure the team would love to part ways. Cap-wise, not sure if that's going to be a real possibility. Doesn't sound like it without, you know, it just doesn't sound like it. But the team would love to just walk away, be done with this. And the Dolphins are still having a good time laughing, even though they can't catch a break themselves and are going to ride out with another top five pick.
And for what it's worth, gang, we're not reporting that the Broncos want to move on from James next year. We're just saying in a perfect world, I think they've seen enough, you know, once bitten, twice shy in regards to now twice bitten, twice shy, I guess, in regards to Juwan James. They don't really have the prerogative to move on from him next year, unfortunately, because that contract that he was set to make this year gets kicked into next year and it's fully guaranteed, basically. So unless they were able to trade him, he's a Bronco next year. I'm thinking back to the article we read from Bob Morris. I don't think the flexibility to make a move on from James comes now until 2022 for the Broncos. So, but I agree with you. I think that in a perfect world, if they had the freedom to make that type of a decision financially, the stakes weren't what they are. I think you gotta believe that they're extremely, extremely disappointed. And I would say, like, crushingly disappointed. They probably saw it coming, but still just crushed it, that their $52 million right tackle is still just nowhere to be found. Chris Hernandez, bona fide superstar, jumping in, showing generosity as always. He is so consistent, John. Very generous super chat. Thank you, Chris. He says, the defense should take the next step forward. The offense has promised. What has really changed for the special teams, though? He's wondering, new punter, maybe a new returner. Will it be better? And by the way, everyone, hashtag click those little two medium thumbs up.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank
Appreciate that, Chris.
Chris knew I was you know, worried about my thumb size, so he switched it up. So I appreciate that.
What's changed on special teams? Yeah, Sam Martin came in to replace Colby Wadman at punter. My guess is there's a – well, it's not a guess. There's a, probably about a 50-50 chance that you're going to see a new returner for the Broncos, both at the punter and – or punt return and kick return level. And they're going to have a new long snapper. It's either going to be Jacob Bovenwoyer or Wes Farnsworth are the two guys that are battling it out this summer for the long snapper. So aside from that, it really just comes down to, you know, improved depth improves your special teams. In the case of Tom McMahon, believe it or not, I know he's got a bad rap, and Zach loves to just, I don't want to say hate on McMahon, but he's very critical of Tom McMahon. But he, believe it or not, Tom McMahon had a sternly reputation as a special teams coordinator and still does in the NFL. Now, there might be a little bit of bloom off that rose because his last couple of years have not been – they've been lackluster, to be honest. And especially in terms of punt and kick coverage, too loosey-goosey, too many big returns given up and – execution has been lacking. But John, I honestly chalk that up more to the fact that the Broncos the last few years have really lacked depth. This isn't the we used to talk about this at MHH back in the height of the Peyton Manning years. The Broncos were able to cultivate elite depth at pretty much across the board, and that's why they were perennial playoff contender and they had the franchise quarterback, and it was what it was. But that has since suffered dramatically, and when your quality of depth goes down, well, who do you think's playing special teams? Who's out there chasing down punts and kicks? It's the depth guys. And when that quality goes down, you're going to see quality there. And so you would hope that the coaches, you know, by virtue of Tom McMahon's expertise and acumen as a special teams coach of over a decade in the NFL, that would bridge the gap from whatever they're lacking depth-wise playing special teams, that his expertise, X's and O's, whatever, would bridge the gap. But we just haven't seen that shake out. So other than the new faces, it's hard to say that anything is going to necessarily be changed on special teams. That's another thing we got to see come out in the wash.
Yeah, I agree again wholeheartedly. There's nothing I would argue with. So let's get back to the chat and get Mundungus. He's in.
Mundungus is back in. I'm in. Okay, so that is August 26th. Okay, sounds good, brother. Thanks. Appreciate the super. You know, we love you.
Excited to see you,
as always. David Kilgore. Appreciate you, my friend, jumping in. So consistent. MHH Mount Rushmore member. Look at that. Beautiful profile pic. I would be wearing that mask right now, too, if it didn't muffle my face. I love it, dude. It looks bad A with that hat as well. He says, I am a teacher, and they are having trouble or figuring out whether we're going to have school in person or not. Doing a great job, Beast. Hope everyone stays safe. Yeah, that's a question that is still, you know, for the most part across the country, is a question still in doubt. Some states are going to allow kids to go back like 2 days, and then 3 days they continue to do the virtual learning. Some states are being a lot less stringent on allowing in-person learning. It just kind of depends case by case, state by state, county by county, school district by school district. But, you know, I just based on the data, I don't really want to go down this rabbit hole, but let me just say this. I hope that kids are able to get back to school sooner than later. That's just what I want to leave it as. In your case, David, is for teachers. I hope that the decision makers can come up with good solutions to do the best they can to mitigate any potential risk for you guys. And I know in your case, if I'm not mistaken, you rolled with the punches with that bug not too long ago yourself and vanquished it, if I'm not mistaken. So you're a tough guy there, David.
Yeah, and for 6'10", I guess it's for his podcast, it's Broncos Talk. If you want to go ahead and check that out.
There you go.
Sure, it's a great listen. And okay. According to Chrissy, her kids start tomorrow, and they're online only. So
okay.
I know we're getting down the stretch, so let's hit some of these supers and get going.
Okay, Zach, web design. He's working on a special project for us. We're going to debut that here in the very near future. Appreciate your generosity, my friend. He says, just showing some love. Hashtag MHH. Hashtag family is the best. Appreciate that, Zach.
Thank you.
And I did see your last DM to me. I'll be replying later tonight when the workload calms down a little bit. I'll get back to you. What else we got here?
Here.
We got that one. We got Chris.
Oh, yeah, got that.
Love you, Chris. Appreciate you, dog. Mine just did the jump. So while you maybe
I'm going slowly.
Yeah, bear with us one sec, gang.
Don't want to get a jump, and I just got a jump.
Okay, so I'm here at Holden. Let's grab Holden, and then I'll check the back end on YouTube and see if we missed anyone.
Perfect.
Appreciate you jumping in, as always, Holden. He says, what's up, Chad and Beast? Keep up the great work. Thank you. Which camp battles are you looking forward to, and who do you think comes out on top? I produced an article, not last weekend, the weekend before, deep dive, long-form analysis on the 10 camp battles that I'm looking forward to most, and I'm just, for the sake of time here, going to boil it down to the number one that I'm looking forward to. And I think most fans will agree with me on this. And that is Philip Lindsay versus Melvin Gordon, the battle for RB1. So far, so good in terms of they are, you know, they're making friends, but in many cases they're in many sense. That was bad grammar. They are frenemies. They're both vying for the same job. Just like on Highlander, there can be only one. That was something Melvin Gordon said in an interview with LaDainian Tomlinson. Yep, I know there can only be one number one guy. He wants it to be him. Philip Lindsay says, look, it's going to be me. You got to get through me. This is my team. The chips are going to fall. I'm still not going to bet against Philip Lindsay, but there's 16 million reasons, really dang good reasons, why Melvin Gordon might end up on top. And I just hope that the coaching staff keep it a level playing field and allow it to simply be dictated by play and impact, not financial considerations.
I agree there. And don't have much to add. Let's just go on to the next one.
But I would say, by the way, check out that article. I don't have time to go find the link, but it's, you know, about a week back on MHH at milehighhuddle.com. You can find it there. And give it a read. There's some deep dive analysis for you there. Real quick, John, it went from we're actually caught up. So we go to KP and BG and we're caught up and we can go back to some of these other things that
perfect
Fangio said here. KP in the house. Great to have you on again, Buana. The show doesn't beat when you're on. Hashtag natural. Now that's a confidence booster right there, John.
Yes, it is. And I really appreciate that, KP. When I'm in the chat, I love talking to you. I love talking to all of you. So if I haven't had a chance to shout you out yet or anything like that, you know that you guys mean the world to me. And I do look forward to having our chats every single day and trying to make sure we can squeeze your questions in when I can.
I want to grab this question from Charlie Beagle. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the question, Charlie. Thanks for hanging out with us on YouTube, my friend. He says, why are we always so heavily dependent on one or two guys each and every year? That gets built up more so in the media and and in the fan base. You know, the fan base is fed by what they read and see and watch in the media. And I think in the case of Juwan James, like last year, it felt like, man, you just spent all this money on him and then he goes down. What are we going to do? For the most part, even though it was lackluster and there were different times in the season where it really bit the Broncos in the rear end, especially against the Chiefs, all those sacks relinquished on Flacco. There was a few games in particular where Wilkinson was a true liability out there. But for the most part, it never ends up being as big of a hit as it feels like it's going to be. And I think that's going to hold true this year, to be honest with you. I think whatever the solutions that ends up being at right tackle, even if it ends up being Wilkinson, look, there are going to be times where it's not pretty. There's going to be times where he misses that block and Drew Lock gets sacked or whatever. There will be times where he gets beat and decides to jerk the guy and hold him so Drew Lock doesn't get murdered on the field. Those times are going to come. But I honestly don't think if recent history is any indication that it's going to be so bad that it derails the season. So in that sense, I see what you mean why we're, you know, the heavily dependent. But I think this year is just going to be another example, John, of seeing the Broncos basically make lemonade out of a tough situation. And look, as long as you got the right quarterback, which at this point it feels like the Broncos do, it feels like Drew Lock is the truth. They're the tide that raises all ships. They can cover holes by virtue of having that one position solved. You can get by with less than perfect roster personnel placements, you know, across the roster. So I wouldn't worry so much about that. It'll work out, I believe.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And it's one of those things, every team's going to have holes. Every team's going to have battles there. It's just the way the NFL is. With the way that the roster is structured, you're going to have camp battles. I'm interested in the camp battle for who's going to take that defensive end spot. Is it going to be Harris? Is it going to be Jones? That's one I'm interested in. But we also spoke about that the other day for Building the Broncos. So I'm sure you all can watch that if you'd like to learn more about the defensive line.
Absolutely. Sorry.
Got Brian Greenfield here giving us $5. Really appreciate that, Brian. It means a lot to us and love your support. You're always here, always watching. So that, again, means the world to us.
Appreciate you, BG. All right. I think we're caught up on Super Chat. Now that'll give us
Christopher here.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
Just saying hello. And Chris, thanks, Christopher. Appreciate it.
Are you on Twitter? Because I tried to figure out which Chris you were on Twitter. What was it, Monday night? Couldn't figure it out, so I couldn't tag you. But if you're on Twitter, reach out and let me know who you are so that I can connect with you and tag you after this show. And thank you for your support of MHH. Of course, Christopher. Look at this one. BG, welcome to MHH, John K. Brian, he should get on Twitter because John's actually new to Twitter. John got on Twitter like a lot of our listeners did because I cracked the whip on him. I was like, dude, get on Twitter. Yep. You're not on Twitter. He's like, all right, I'll get on Twitter. This dude is like a natural born Twitter dweller. John blocks at Twitter. And BG, I think if you got on Twitter, you might find a similar liking to the platform. But John, you do a great job, man. You find interesting things to tweet. You're great at promoting MHH. You're great at promoting other Broncos content. And when the Broncos tweet and cool, John's a great follow. Make sure you guys follow him on Twitter.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I try to make sure that, you know, I can reach out to any one of our fans. If you're there, I'll speak to you. Ask me any questions about anything. It doesn't have to just be football. I'd still love to talk football. But yes, I'm glad to talk anything. And just hit me up when you have the chance.
Okay. Duke jumping in as he is want to do. Rocking do they call that a Stetson? What do they call that hat, that cowboy hat? I don't know. I'm not very versed in the ways of our country brethren. But I love you, Duke. You are the man, he says, for Beast. Yeehaw. Keep up the great work. Means a lot to us, my friend. And then one more here, and then I want to grab from Terry, and then we'll get back to Fangio. He says, keep the chat rocking, peeps. Hashtag Broncos World. There we go. Appreciate you, Terry. Yeah. You are the man. Looking forward to talking to you tomorrow, my dog. All right. Real quick, John, before we bounce on out, I want to address the fact that Vic Fangio was asked, so, you know, hey, is Garrett Bowles still competing for left tackle, or is this basically now just, you know, it's his job to, et cetera? He said, look, right now, to be honest with you, I'd have to say left tackle is Garrett's job to lose, which is no surprise. I mean, it was always Garrett's job to lose. Even before Juwan James decided to opt out, I've been telling you guys on this podcast, so is Zach, it's a passive-aggressive move, the idea of Elway talking about it in the press, that Elijah Wilkinson was going to compete with Bowles for left tackle. That was all there for court of public opinion, for PR purposes, and to motivate Bowles. But in actuality, Bowles was never in doubt of losing that job, ever, unless the injury bug jumped up and bit him, which, you know, we can hate on Bowles, we can clown on him, we can criticize him. But the one thing you got to give the man his props on, he's never missed a start. He's always available for his team. And because of that, he doesn't have anything to worry about this year in terms of losing that job.
Yeah, I think, it's one of those things where I heard him say, from what I heard Fangio say, you know, it's his job to lose. We really just the Broncos just do not have anyone to put in there at this point. The depth is going to the right side at this point, and that's where the focus has to be. I don't think there was a lot of positivity in Fangio's statement saying, oh my, you know, I'm trusting this guy. I have the confidence in the world of him. It sounded like he said, you know, cautiously optimistic. Stuff like that just does not make you feel all the good feelings you want with your left tackle and with your right tackle out.
Yep.
The only benefit I see with all this going on right now for the Broncos is at least next year when they're trying to find a new left tackle, as it's presumed at this point, at least they don't have to find two tackles. It'll be in stagnant years.
All right. One other thing I wanted to bring up here. We didn't get time to get into Courtland Sutton. He had some really interesting remarks. Maybe we can touch on them tomorrow night if we get some time.
Yeah.
But something that Von Miller said, I want to get back to in regards to whether or not he seriously considered opting out, what's motivating him this year. We already explained to you what really the three things that sparked his kind of mighty change of heart, but he goes into a little bit more detail on this. He says, quote, "I thought about it in regards to opting out. And that when they gave us the option, I thought about all my options. I thought about my family and I took serious consideration in the things that could possibly happen. For me, I think the Broncos are doing a great job keeping us safe. There are always holes and there are always going to be holes. We're not a total bubble. It's not 100% like basketball. So there's always going to be holes. I feel like the job the Broncos are doing to keep us safe were enough for me to not opt out. Last year," here's where it gets interesting, John, "I didn't play to my standards. I didn't play to the sack master's standard. There was more for me to give. My coaches felt like there was more for me to give." That's interesting. "My coaches felt like there was more for me to give. Most of all, I feel like I can give more and I can be more. I don't feel like I'm finished yet. I wanted to come back here and I wanted to play the best I possibly could. I wanted to put everything into the offseason. I wanted to pour everything into myself and go out there and play the best that I possibly could and see what happens." Close quote. John, really the last thing he has to accomplish in terms of his trophy case, he's got the world championship. He's got Super Bowl 50 MVP. He's got 8 Pro Bowls. He's got multiple All-Pro nods. The only thing he's really failed to accomplish as an individual player in the NFL is winning Defensive Player of the Year. This is the mindset of a Defensive Player of the Year. Now it's just a matter of making it a reality out on the grass.
Yeah, I agree. I think looking for those final check marks for that his resume, essentially. And I do think that that Defensive Player of the Year is something to, you know, be a goal for him. And it's going to happen. It's just a matter of, is there going to be a cast supporting enough around him to lead into more of those sacks? So I feel like there's a good chance for it, but it's a lofty goal. You never know who else is going to produce a certain year. Interesting to see, though.
Last thing, and then we're going to get out of here, on Vaughn's impression of Jarrell Casey and what he'll bring to the Broncos this season. Quote, "It's the exact same guy from the Pro Bowl. It's the exact same guy from the Pro Bowl. Some of the games we talked about, some of the drills that we worked on at the Pro Bowl, we talk about the same stuff here. He just gets it. It's just instant. When you've played as long as Jarrell and you've played as long as me, it's just instant in terms of chemistry. We don't have to work on stuff. I can say something, he'll pick it up instantly. He'll say something to me and I'll pick it up instantly. It's great to have a guy like that. Derek Wolf was great. We had 8 strong years together, and I wouldn't be the type of pass rusher that I am today without Derek Wolf. I have Jarrell Casey here with me now, and I have to take advantage of that. I have to take advantage of his knowledge. I have to take advantage of his energy, his pass rushing energy. He's great to have out there. Today, we were just walking through some stuff, and I can already feel it. I could already feel how effective we'll be together. I'm just excited to go out there and practice, excited to be in pads, et cetera, et cetera." Von Miller is stoked that Jarrell Casey is in the house. And just like we saw at times how Derek Wolf would help kind of draw attention away to give Von Miller one-on-one opportunities, that's going to be only magnified and intensified with Jarrell Casey, who is a true bona fide pass rushing threat in his own right.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things where I think that there's going to be some great jumps, and it's not going to be so much on Von Miller to make the perfect, move into timing the ball and when it's going to be snapped anymore. I think with Casey, there's going to be a lot of havoc going on. Is it going to be similar as JT said in on Twitter? I'm not sure if you saw him. Is it going to be similar to Malik Jackson? He thinks it's going to be actually above Malik Jackson. So it's one of those takes where you got to see what Casey can bring. Hopefully it's not just 1 year and it's multiple years.
All right. 2 more super chats. Then we got to get out of here for tonight. We got Dave from Georgia checking in. Love to see you, Dave. Thanks for joining us, my friend, a bona fide superstar. Anytime Dave is in the chat, He's showing love on Super Chat, and we appreciate it. Always is. He says, another great show, guys. Keep up the great work. Appreciate you, my friend. You keep showing up. We'll keep producing the content, my dog. We got Glenn jumping back in, another superstar, as you all know. He says, remember when BB was apprehensive about appearing live? Yeah. The freaking guy is a stud on air, wanna beast, no lie. Chad is ridiculously good, but we all know that. Appreciate that hashtag, Glenn. I really do. I appreciate it. It's always awkward to read something like that out loud when I'm the one saying it and you're complimenting me. But the sentiment is appreciated, Glenn, and I know from on John's part as well.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
All right, guys. We got to bounce out here tonight. We're just crossed the one-hour mark. We'll be back in the saddle tomorrow night. Zach will be back. We'll have Terry on the show for the seventh installment of the Superstar segment, so look forward to that. Make sure in the meantime, gang, that you are following the podcast on Twitter, at HuddleUpPod. And again, I want to remind our Super Chat superstars, especially if you're new to being on Super Chat with us, connect with us on Twitter. Reach out. Let us know who you are. If your Twitter name is different than your YouTube name, hey, this is who I am. Just so you know, you'll get a follow back from us. And that way we can connect and shout you out and show you some love on Twitter after these shows. Also, follow at Mile High Huddle. Don't forget to check out the merch store when you get some time, gang. Another phenomenal way that we're consistently and continually adding to as time goes on. We got some really fun designs coming your way here in the very near future. And then don't forget to follow John on Twitter, as you can see here on the screen. And for those listening, at John, excuse me, at John, that's JonKKaymhH. You can find me at Chad and Jensen. Find our partner, Zach Kelberman, at Kelberman NFL. Zach, again, he'll be back tomorrow. And we thank each and every one of you for joining us here in the stream, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, Periscope, Twitter, all of you. We love you. Mile high salute to our Super Chat superstars. You guys are literally the best. And John, dude, you crushed it. You did a great job filling in for Zach, and I appreciate you, you know, going out on a limb like this and pushing the boundaries of what you've done. And I hope it's been rewarding. I know
it has been.
Has loved it, and I've had a blast.
Yeah, it's been definitely very rewarding, and it's just something that it's getting more and more comfortable with. Can't wait, though, for tomorrow to be back in the background a little bit and let Terry shine, because that's something he's been waiting for, and I'm really excited to see some of his opinions on some different takes. So I'm very excited to get Terry going, as well as getting the belated birthday boy back in here.
Amen. Yep, we're going to be celebrating Zach's birthday, so make sure you're with us tomorrow night, because it's also the Mile High Mailbag. So we're going to be juggling a few things. Zach's birthday, the Mile High Mailbag, Terry's appearance. It's going to be a gas. Don't miss out. But we got to bounce out for now. So for John Kay, I'm Chad Jensen. We will talk to you guys tomorrow night.
You've been listening to the Huddle Up Podcast. Join Broncos Country's deep divers at milehighhuddle.com to keep the conversation going.